Hi, it's Ian Pickus. We're back in the Congressional Corner today with our buddy Tim Versalotti, professor of political science at Western New England University. And Tim, in Massachusetts this election, we have one high-profile race, at least, and that is for the U.S. Senate seat held by Democrat Elizabeth Warren. How is Warren looking in her bid for a third term against the Republican challenger John Deaton?
If the polls are on the mark this time around, we're getting a sense of deja vu. Of the recent polls that have come out, the average lead for Elizabeth Warren is 23 points. The Real Clear Politics average has her at 56.7 and John Deaton at 33.7. She defeated Jeff Diehl, the former state representative, in 2018 by 25 points. So a 20-some point lead, it's pretty familiar territory for Senator Warren.
Now, if we expect that Warren is not likely to lose, where does that leave national Democrats in some other key races around the country as they try to hold control of that chamber?
The Democratic Party is really up against it in terms of the United States Senate. Right now, they control the Senate 51-49. They're relying on 48 Democrats and three independents, Bernie Sanders in Vermont, Angus King in Maine, and Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona. This cycle, 34 of the 100 Senate seats are up, and Democrats are defending approximately 20 of them, and a handful of seats held by independents are up as well. So their hold on the Senate is quite tenuous. At this point, they can't afford to lose, if we do the math, more than one seat. And it's pretty clear that they will lose the seat currently held by Joe Manchin in West Virginia. The West Virginia governor, Jim Justice, is polling very strong there. Donald Trump has easily won West Virginia in the past two cycles. So the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has pretty much resigned itself that is out of reach. What they're holding their breath on is John Tester in Montana. Mm-hmm. So Montana's a red state, routinely goes for Republicans in presidential elections. But John Tester is a fairly moderate Democrat. He has managed to pull out his reelection bids previously. He's struggling, though, in this cycle. He's up against a retired Navy SEAL by the name of Tim Sheehy. The current average of the polls in that race has Tester down by 7. Tester has a history of closing strong, so there's a possibility he could pull off a miracle, but the difficult polling there has sent the Democratic Party looking for another seat to pick up to try to offset the loss, the potential loss of the seat in Montana. Ted Cruz is up for re-election. Cruz narrowly won re-election 6 years ago. He's up against a Democratic congressman from Dallas, Colin Allred. And Allred is a former NFL player. He's very personable on the stump. They had a debate the other night where Allred performed very strongly when he was talking about January 6th and his recollections of being barricaded in the House chamber and being prepared physically to defend democracy if he had to. He's down a couple of points from Cruz, but the Democratic Party is pushing money in Texas, which they wouldn't do at this late stage unless they had some decent internal polling that said they might be able to pull this off. And the other place where their options are a bit less promising, but not off the table, Florida, where Rick Scott, the Republican, is up for re-election. A former Congresswoman, Debbie Mucarsel Powell, is a few points down from Scott, and the Democrats are putting some money in there as well in the hopes she might be able to pull off I won't call it a miracle, but a very difficult task of winning that race.
So what about for the House? We know if Democrats win back control, you know, Hakeem Jeffries from New York is in line to become Speaker. How do things look on that side?
The House is interesting. It's really on a knife's edge. So the current party composition, 220 Republicans, 212 Democrats, three vacancies. The party that gets to 218 wins. The way we judge the prospects in the House are looking at national, what we call generic ballots. If the election for Congress were held today, would you vote for the Republican or the Democrat in your district? Right now, the Real Clear Politics average has Democrats with a lead of 0.9% on the generic ballot nationally. Because of gerrymandering, that is drawing districts in ways that benefit one party or the other, the Democrats have to overperform. That 0.9 probably isn't enough. When they won a majority in the House in 2020, they won the generic ballot by 3.1%. So it's within reach, and it really will come down to a handful of districts in California, in New York. The prospects here are certainly stronger for the Democratic Party than they are for the party holding on to the Senate.
So let's talk now about the two House races in Western Massachusetts, where we've got long-term Democratic incumbents Jim McGovern in the 2nd District and Richard Neal in the 1st District, both of whom face some opposition this time around. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. So in the 1st District, Representative Neal is the Democratic nominee. He is running against an independent, Nadia Milleron, who aviation safety and consumer advocate. Interestingly, she's also the niece of four-time presidential candidate Ralph Nader. She lives in Sheffield in Western Massachusetts. She collected enough signatures to get on the ballot. In terms of the money race, it's going to be a difficult challenge for her. The most recent Federal Election Commission filings, which came in September 30th, she had raised about $280,000 and still had about $88,000 cash on hand. Richard Neal, at the end of September, had $4.2 million cash on hand. As the Democratic Party's nominee and as a fixture in Western Mass politics for three plus decades, it would be quite a shock if Neal ran into any serious difficulty winning another term.
And how about the McGovern race?
So the McGovern race is somewhat similar in this regard. Jim McGovern is facing an independent by the name of Cornelius Shea. According to the Federal Election Commission data, as of September 30th, Mr. Shea has not raised a dollar. Mr. Shea, who is retired, told the Worcester Telegram Gazette that he thought everyone should have opposition. And when he saw that Jim McGovern was running unopposed, he decided to get in the race. According to the Worcester Telegram Gazette, Shea calls himself a John F. Kennedy Democrat, although he's running as an independent. Again, this would be a race that's fairly safe for Jim McGovern.
We've been speaking with Tim Versalotti, professor of political science at Western New England University. Always great having you on the show, Tim. When we come back the next time, let's talk about the ballot questions in Massachusetts.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Ian.